Gilgamesh may be a tyrant, but he is an insightful one. He does know what to do about the wild man, and he tells it to the trapper without a moment's hesitation. "Go to the temple of Ishtar," he says. "Ask them there for a woman named Shamhat, one of the priestesses who give their bodies to any man in honor of the goddess. Take her into the wilderness. When the animals are drinking at the waterhole, tell her to strip off her robe and lie there naked, ready, with her legs apart. The wild man will approach. Let her use her love arts. Nature will take its course, and then the animals who knew him in the wilderness will be bewildered and will leave him forever." It is a startling recommendation, especially coming from a man whose modus operandi is force. We might have expected him to send out a battalion to hunt down and capture Enkidu. Instead, he commissions a single woman. Somehow he knows that Enkidu needs to be tamed rather than captured, and that the only way to civilize him is through the power of Eros. He doesn't seem to suspect, however, that the wild man has been sent by the gods to civilize him. The poem says nothing about Gilgamesh's relationship to Shamhat. Does he know how skilled she is because he has made love with her himself at the temple? Is he a regular client, or has he just heard of her prowess? All we are told is that he knows she is the right woman for the job. Shamhat is one of the most fascinating characters in Gilgamesh. If we want to appreciate her role as an ancient Babylonian cultic prostitute, our imagination needs to bypass any filters of romantic love, Judeo-Christian morality, male lubricity, or female indignation. Actually, we have no word in English for what Shamhat is. The Akkadian words Harimtu and Samhatu certainly do not mean prostitute in our sense of the term, a woman who sells herself for personal gain. She is a priestess of Ishtar, the goddess of love, and as a kind of reverse nun has dedicated her life to what the Babylonians considered the sacred mystery of sexual union. In opening to the anonymous man who appears before her in the temple, young or old, handsome or ugly, she is opening to every man, that is, to God. She has become an incarnation of the goddess, and with her own body reenacts the cosmic marriage. As a pure servant of Eros, she is a vessel for the force that moves the stars, the force that, through the green fuse, drives the flower. In a passage about the attractions of Uruk that was added in the standard version, Sinleika Unini mentions Ishtar's priestesses with enormous pride. "Come," said Shamhat, "let us go to Uruk. I will lead you to Gilgamesh, the mighty king. You will see the great city with its massive wall. You will see the young men dressed in their splendor, in the finest linen and embroidered wool, brilliantly colored, with fringed shawls and wide belts. Every day is a festival in Uruk, with people singing and dancing in the streets, musicians playing their lyres and drums, the lovely priestesses standing before the temple of Ishtar, chatting and laughing, flushed with sexual joy, and ready to serve men's pleasure in honor of the goddess, so that even old men are aroused from their beds." How the poet loves his city! The great wall, the colors, the finery, the music and dancing, they all form the texture of the continuous celebration of life that makes this passage so alive. Part of the enjoyment he conveys is that in Uruk, male sexual desire is so abundantly gratified. But it is the lovely, joyful priestesses, themselves gratified in the act of gratification, who light up his portrait of the city. Their laughter and sexual glow is for him one of the principal glories of civilization.